It was John Smith's birthday, and as he awoke, he was very excited. He hurried downstairs to look for the presents and cards, and indeed he wasn't disappointed, because there in the room was a large pile of presents with cards on top. And he looked at them with eager anticipation, and he thought with excitement of the party later that day, of the cakes and the jellies and the good things to eat, which is rather surprising as he was 36. But he got down to opening his presents, and he opened the first present from a friend and found it was a can of deodorant. Not very exciting, so he threw it to one side, but he would use it later. There was one small present, more sort of sellotape than wrapping paper, and it was from his daughter, so he opened it up to find a jumping frog. It said a little bit more about the child, the giver, than it did about him. But I bet when she went to bed, he'd play with it. And then he opened a present from his wife. It was a very nice engraved pen. A lot of care, a lot of thought had gone into it. As he opened it, he felt a bit guilty, really, because he remembered the present that he'd given to his wife, and not so much care and thought had gone into it, and he wished he'd done a little bit better. Finally, he picked up a long, thin present which came from his father. What could it be? He opened it to find that it was a new cricket bat. Now, how on earth did his father know he needed a new one? And then he remembered a chance remark a few weeks before, saying that he thought he got a crack in his present bat. Great. He'd probably get a few games in with it before the season finished, and then he'd have to put it away ready for the next season. This morning in our little series on stewardship, we're thinking about gifts. Stewardship of the gifts that are given to us. Now, just simply mentioning the word gifts provokes different responses in us. Perhaps it's a reaction of indifference. Well, I haven't got any gifts, so it doesn't really apply to me. Perhaps a response of guilt amongst many of us, saying, well, I should make more use of the gifts I have. Perhaps even a reaction of hostility. I've tried to use the gifts I've got. Nobody seems to want them. I'm talking about gifts. And the word, in a sense, can be as broad as we like. It can include almost anything. From the gift of time that Richard Buse was looking at with us last week, to the gifts of money and possessions that Steve Wookie will be looking at in a couple of weeks' time. Perhaps what we want to do this morning is to look at the gifts, the abilities, the talents that we have, although in a sense I'm hesitant to narrow it down. But that's where we're going to focus most of our attention this morning. And yet, to speak of gifts, in a sense, rules most of us out. Because when we think of gifts, we tend to think of the remarkable gifts. The gifts of a Michelangelo, a Renoir, a Wordsworth, a Beethoven. And we say, well, rules me out straight away. I don't have any of gifts like that. But this morning I want us to try and, as it were, rule ourselves in. Say, yes, I have got things that I can use. Things that God has given to me that I can use in the service of God. Willingness is a great gift. A sense of servanthood is a great gift. As I came into church this morning, I saw two people with happy smiles and nimble fingers as they gave out the notice sheets, gifts that God has given to be used. So as we speak and think about gifts, try to rule yourself in rather than say, I haven't got anything remarkable, and rule yourself out. So where should we start as we think about gifts? Perhaps you turn to James chapter 1, passage that Stephen Cowie read for us earlier on. It's page 213. And especially looking at verse 17. James chapter 1, and verse 17. Every good endowment and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. I think when we think about gifts, we must start with God the Father, who gives all good things. He gives good things. Now, earlier in the chapter, James has been pointing out that God doesn't tempt anyone. He doesn't give, as it were, bad things. And now he puts it the other way around and says, no, rather, God gives only good things. And God doesn't change. There's no shadow with him. He doesn't change. He doesn't alter according to the seasons, according to a mood. God only gives good things. Now, we have to recognize, of course, that the people he gives it to, you and I, aren't quite so good. And so, as it were, the gift gets tainted within us. A little bit like drinking orange juice out of a cup that's been used for turpentine. But the gifts are good that God gives us. Whether it's the ability to breathe, to live, to create, to procreate, to think, to laugh, to love, to make music, to design bridges, to preach, to teach. And again, I'm giving a broad spectrum, so that we're all included. God gives good gifts. We may want to stop just for a moment and think, what are the good gifts that God has given to me? They will be many, they will be varied. Say, simply from the ability to be here this morning, through many, many different things. And of course, not neglecting the greatest gift of all, the gift that Paul in 2 Corinthians describes as the inexpressible gift of Jesus Christ our Lord, and the gift of the Holy Spirit, who assures us that we are children of God. God has given us many, many good gifts across the whole spectrum, and we should be thankful for them. Thankful for the good gifts God gives us. As a parent, I tend to spend a lot of time tidying up after my children, putting away books and clothes and toys. But we also, as parents, don't we, spend a lot of time tidying up children's speech. So we whisper in their ear when they're given something, what do you say? And out comes the words, thank you. Gratitude isn't learned easily, either as children or as adults. We don't learn, or we don't respond with gratitude very easily at all. God has given us so many good gifts. And our response is thankfulness. But not only does God give good gifts, he gives generously. Look back in the passage to verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all men generously. God gives generously, not just in terms of wisdom, in terms of so many things. Jesus himself used the image of a sack being filled with corn in Luke chapter 6. Filled with corn, shaken so that the corn sinks down and more can be put in. Pressed down so that more could be put in and more could be put in. And then filled to running over. And that's a measure of the way that God gives us. More and more and more. Out of his love, he gives us generously. And he gives us what is for our good because he knows our needs. God gives good things abundantly. And we have every reason, both from scripture and experience, to believe and to live on the basis of that, that God gives good things generously to us. John Smith's father knew his need and gave him generously. God gives us good things according to our needs generously. Helen Roosevelt, when she was here in Africa, tells of a time how one baby was born with the loss of the mother. And they found themselves without any means to actually keep the baby warm at night. and they longed for a hot water bottle. But hot water bottles weren't in abundant supply in that part of Africa. And so the following day, she told some of the children at the orphanage of the problem. And one 10-year-old prayed that God would send a hot water bottle and a dolly for the baby's 2-year-old sister. Now, at that point, Helen had been in Africa for 4 years and had never received a parcel. But that afternoon, a parcel weighing 22 pounds arrived. And she sent for the children from the orphanage to gather round while they opened it. And they opened it and they pulled out knitted jerseys and bandages, soap, raisins, and then a hot water bottle. And the little 10-year-old ran to the box and rummaged down at the bottom, convinced that if the hot water bottle was there, so would be the doll. And sure enough, it was. And the parcel had been on the way for 5 months. God gives good gifts to his children. And he gives generously, knowing our need. But it's just a pity that God gives so often to people who are like Scrooge. We're rather greedy and we want to hoard the things to ourselves. But we find it hard. We find it hard to have what I would call a sort of well mentality rather than a cup mentality. I think most of us have a cup mentality. We've just got a little drop left at the bottom, rather than a well mentality where it just keeps coming and coming and coming. God's good gifts know no end. He is a generous God, whether it's in terms of wisdom, patience, love, time, whatever it may be, the gifts of God keep flowing. And we need to remember that the well of God's giving is deep. And if he gives us a desire to serve, and if he gives us gifts with which to serve, he will keep on giving. His gifts will never run out. God gives good things. He gives them generously, and he gives them graciously. Again, there in verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let us ask God, who gives to all men generously and without reproaching. Without reproaching, graciously. Alec Matier, in his little commentary, writes this: God gives without reproaching, not holding it against us that we come so often, or that we frequently trade upon his goodness, or that we have squandered or failed to appreciate his earlier gifts. In other words, God's gifts don't depend upon how good, upon how wise we are. They don't depend upon how well we're doing as Christians. They don't even depend upon how well we've used the gifts that God has given to us so far. God's gifts are given graciously, not according to what we deserve. John Smith may not have felt that he deserved the gift from his wife. Indeed, he may have taken the pen and the next day he may have lost it. Or he may have put it aside and forgotten about it and never used it. But his wife, out of love, would give him again a gift the next year. And if we, human beings with all our fallibilities, with all the evil that is in us, know how to give good things graciously, how much more does God know how to give graciously to us? God gives us good things generously and graciously. We might ask then, so what? What's our response to these great truths? And I want us to hold those great truths in our minds. Because I believe it's with God we must start when we're thinking about gifts. But what's our response? The first, I think, is to learn the gratitude attitude. To learn the gratitude attitude. At Christmas and birthdays, my wife and I always make lists of what the children have received. Not just so that we can remember what they've had, but in order that eventually we can write thank you letters to the various people who've sent them gifts. You see, real gratitude is actually using the things that have been given. So for the book to be read, the toy to be played with, the jumper to be worn, that actually shows that we're thankful for what has been given. For God to see us using the gifts that he's given us. The warm smile, the nimble fingers as we welcome people at the door, whatever it may be. For God to see us using those gifts is for God to know we are thankful. Yes, of course, words of thanks are important. But God knows. God knows whether we're truly thankful for the gifts that he's given to us in the way that we use those things. The first thing is gratitude. And it's the thing we learn. It's the thing we grow into. But then the second thing is glory. It's great to see some Christians in action, isn't it? The Christian footballer, the Christian musician, the Christian preacher, the Christian politician, the Christian poet. It's wonderful to see them in action. But the temptation is to idolize them. To idolize those people and the gifts that they have. And then it's easy for some people to talk about my gift, which quickly becomes my gift for my advancement to fulfill my goals. The quote that is our title for this morning is from Marie Curie, which says, "We must believe that our gifts are given to us for some purpose." But what is the purpose? What is the purpose of the gifts that we're given? Well, the obvious answer is to be used. And it's amazing that as we use the gifts that we receive, how they actually benefit us. I became a Christian just as I started teaching. And I became a Christian through a youth group. And knowing that I was a teacher, they wanted to use me within the youth group. And I was happy for that. And so I spent a lot of time working in that youth group alongside other Christians. And what was the effect of that? I'm not sure it did any of the young people much good. But it taught me a lot about Christian service, about the Christian faith. It brought me, who was living in quite a lonely bedsit, into contact with many friends and built up many relationships. And it seems to me, looking back now, that has actually happened all the way through the time that I've been involved in Christian ministry. That actually I've got so much benefit out of being involved in service for Jesus Christ. Using our gift often enriches us greatly. It does us good. It builds us into fellowship. Indeed, the people with whom I'm in strongest fellowship are those who I've worked in the service of Jesus Christ with. Biblically, it would be put as building the body of Christ. Gifts are given to be used, and in using them in some remarkable way, they very often benefit us more. But in saying that, we still haven't reached the purpose of the gifts that are given to us. Peter, in his first letter, writes this: "As each has received a gift, employ it for one another as good stewards of God's varied grace, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ." As we use our gifts and the body of Jesus Christ is built up, God is glorified. And the purpose of our gifts is to glorify God. To glorify God. And that means that in a sense, some gifts will be more obviously used to that purpose than others. Some gifts that are given will more easily glorify God than others will. I think we need to understand that. Because I think in understanding that some of the gifts that God gives to us more readily glorify him will actually help us in three important ways. The first will be in the important way of assessing the gifts we should be using. Those that will have most direct effect in bringing glory to God should be uppermost in our minds. One of the newspapers back in 1985 had this article in it. It said, "Albert Fries has beaten the world marathon record by 21 minutes. The record for running a marathon backwards, that is. After completing 26 miles, 385 yards at Long Beach, California, in 3 hours, 59 minutes and 7 seconds, he declared, 'God has a task for each one of us, and you just have to do the best you can at it. For me, right now, it happens to be running a marathon backwards.'" Well, it may be. It may be. But I would actually like to ask him what else he thinks God may have for him to do that will more directly build the body of Christ and bring glory to God. We need to look and say, what are the gifts that God has given to me? And which are the ones that are most directly going to bring glory to him? That, secondly, should tie in with the fact that we shouldn't feel rejected. If our very clear talent, whether it be running a marathon backwards or identifying the sex of a hedgehog, if our very real talent doesn't actually seem to fit into the church. If that is so, then we should look around, talk with friends and say, what other things has God given me that I can use to bring glory to God? And again, it doesn't have to be a great gift. We tend always to look for those remarkable gifts. Let's go back again to the warm smile, to the nimble fingers, to the welcoming, and many other gifts like that, that we can use to show our thankfulness to God and to glorify God together. Let's talk with friends. Ask, what might I be used? Let's go to the service centre downstairs and have a look and say, what are the things that need to be done that in a sense I could be God's servant in doing? So let's not feel rejected if our clear talent can't be used. Let's scout around, think, how else might I be able to bring glory to God? And then the third point is that I think we do need to recognise we can't necessarily be using all our gifts all the time. Back to the initial illustration of John Smith, his father gave him a cricket bat. Now that's fine for a few months of the year, but at the end of the season it's put away and left to one side. John Smith won't feel guilty about that. Rather, he'll look for the day when he'll actually get it out again and use it again. It may be for some of us that there are going to be times in our lives when some of the abilities and gifts that God has given to us are actually laid on one side. And there'll be many different reasons for that. Parents with young children often find that the demands on their time mean that some abilities have to be put to one side for a while. Some who are unemployed may feel guilty because they're not actually able to use the gifts and talents and they're going to waste. Let's not be guilty. Those who are ill over a long period, either mentally or physically, can feel that they're frittering away God's gifts. Well, it may well be that in God's timing, the season for you to use those gifts will come round again. Some of us may be in new situations, whether it's a new situation of marriage, a new situation of work, a new situation where we're living, and we're thinking, well, I ought to be getting on and using various gifts. We ought to rest easy in those situations. The time will come. The time will come. And then there are some people who seem to have just too many gifts, too many things that they could do, they could be involved in. And how are they to assess which to use? And in using those, they feel guilty about the things they're not using. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel guilty if some gifts are laid aside for some time. Let's assess the things that God wants us to be doing at that point in time and using the gifts that God has given to us to the glory of God. That's the purpose, that the body of Christ may be built up and God may be glorified. Our response is gratitude, glory, and finally goal. Because I think in use of the gifts, we must remember our overall purpose and goal as Christians. The thing that glorifies God most of all is for people to come to a knowledge of him and his love for them in Jesus Christ. The greatest gift is to know God in Christ. And we can all share that gift with people. Our purpose as followers of Christ is to make disciples of every nation. And it's to that end that all the gifts have been given. And when people become Christians, when people come into a knowledge of God in Christ, then is God supremely glorified. So what do we have this morning? We have many good gifts given to us generously and graciously by God. Given to us to use. And in so doing, God receives the gratitude and thanksgiving of our hearts and our lives. God receives the glory, and our goal as the people of God is fulfilled. I thank God for the many gifts that He's given to me over many, many years. Different things at different times. And the way we give God thanks, the way we show our gratitude, is to use those gifts that He might receive the glory. Let us pray. Father, we do thank and praise You for Your goodness and love to us. We thank You for the many gifts You've graciously bestowed upon us. Father, lift our hearts this morning in adoration and praise to You for all Your goodness. Encourage us in our resolve to use those gifts to Your glory. And Father, as we seek together to use the varied gifts that You have given to us by Your Spirit, may You build Your people in this place. And by building Your people in this place, may You be glorified through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.